In Jeremiah 47, we've got here the word of judgment upon the Philistines before Pharaoh struck Gaza. That was the capital of the Philistine territory. Well, we've got this here because Judah were tempted to trust in the Philistines against Babylon. And the point is that, no, they were also going to be struck by both Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar. The only hope is in God, is in humble trust or faith in him. This was the point. And it's rather like us being told that all the clever schemes that we have, as it were, insurances against evil days, in the end will come to nothing as we finally face the reality of death. It is only our faith and our trust in God that will save. So verse 2, waters rise up out of the north and shall become an overflowing stream and shall overflow the land and all that is therein, and that includes the Philistine territory. And these overflowing waters refers to the army coming from the north, from Babylon. That was going to flood the entire land Eretz promised to Abraham, and that included the Philistine territory. Verse 3, at the noise of the stamping of the hooves of his strong ones, at the rushing of his chariots, at the rumbling of his wheels. Now, this is the language of the rushing noise of the wheels of the cherubim in Ezekiel. And therefore, I think the idea is that, look, it is the angel cherubim, the angelic armies of heaven, Yahweh of hosts, who is going to be manifested on this earth through the chariots of Babylon. God is behind Babylon. Don't think that the Philistines will save you. They also are going to be subsumed beneath this. And so, clearly enough, the things that are going on in our lives and the things that are going on in this world, brutal and tragic as so much of it is, just as the march of the Babylonian chariots was brutal and tragic, these are not the mere random machinations of men. In some unfathomable way, they are under the direct control of a God of love who only means to do us good at our latter end. And it is a challenge to faith. And this is why I keep saying that the Hebrew and Greek words for faith really mean to trust. It is a case of trust because we do not see the full picture and we never will totally in this life. Verse 4, because of the day that comes to destroy all the Philistines, to cut off from Tyre and Sidon every helper who remains. Now the Philistines were in league with Tyre and Sidon. And God wanted them to realize that he was Israel's only helper. Now, Jeremiah in Lamentations 1 verse 7 laments that Judah has been left without any helper. Well, yeah, that was because they tried all this human help. And when we have our crises in life, be they big or little, we tend to trust in human help. It is a natural thing to do, whereas we have got to go immediately to God. Verse 5, baldness has come on Gaza, Ashkelon is brought to nothing. Of course, this is the speaking of things which are not as though they are. They hadn't yet been destroyed. And then, how long will you cut yourself? Now, the cutting of themselves was in order to beg their idols to arise and help them. You remember how the prophets of Baal did this on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18. And I think the idea is, how long are you going to do this? Well, whenever you read how long, the idea is it's an appeal. Stop doing it. How long are you going to do this? Stop it. And you could take this as an appeal for repentance, even to the Philistines. In all these judgments, don't forget that it is not God's pleasure, it's not God's will to judge and condemn people. He wants people's repentance. Then in verse 6, you sword of Yahweh, how long will it be before you be quiet? Put up yourself into your scabbard, rest and be still. Well, I take that as Jeremiah sort of butting in. He responds to this prophecy he has to utter against these Philistines by begging God to limit these judgments. And he does this again in Jeremiah 46. So, and also in Jeremiah 4, he sort of interrupts a prophecy he's giving to Judah to repent, about judgment to come, by appealing for them to repent. And I think our handling of the Bible prophecies of judgment to come should have a like effect upon us. If you really believe that all this is going to come upon this earth, well, you do almost want to sort of butt in and say, oh God, please, hasten the day. Cut it short, please. And likewise to say to people, please repent. This outcome is avoidable for you. And then verse 7, how can you be quiet since Yahweh has given you a command? Against Ashkelon and against the seashore, there has he appointed it. Now that may be Jeremiah's reply to himself. So I think we have a window here into Jeremiah's deeply internal and personal struggles. He says to God, verse 6, you sword of Yahweh, how long will it be before you be quiet? Put up yourself into your scabbard, rest and be still. And then he thinks, how can you be quiet? So you see then how God is open to sort of human response to him. And Jeremiah knew that he was willing to, as it were, butt in and give his response to God. And I think you also see here how you ask the question of God in prayer, and yet within that prayer you find the answer. So he says, you sword of Yahweh, how long will it be before you be quiet? Put up yourself, rest, be still. And then we imagine a gap. And then Jeremiah says, how can you be quiet since Yahweh has given you a command? Yes, this is necessary. I see now. You see that in quite a number of David's Psalms, that he starts off with a certain complaint against God, but by the end of the psalm, he feels he's got the answer, and he's praising God again. And those psalms are prayers. And this is why prayer is dialogue with God. It is not firing away a list of requests and hoping that 1 out of 10 might get answered. Prayer is dialogue. Prayer is opening of our heart to God, discussing with God, stating our feelings. And as you find with David and some of his recorded prayers, and as I think you see here with Jeremiah, you, in the course of that prayer, reason yourself out of the question that you had to start with, and things become clearer. Because, of course, as you pray, God is there, and God is working in your mind and making things clear. This is why prayer is often valuable when it is spoken out loud. Because I think that by the process of praying out loud, kneeling by your bed or on your sofa after the kids have gone to bed, praying out loud, you do come to, as it were, reason yourself with God's help in the process of that prayer to a correct position.